Remember Isaac as he comes.
I'd like to say good evening to everybody. How unworthy I am to be joined out with Christ, to be born again. How unworthy that I am. What I deserved, what I had made for myself, was on my way to hell. I was sending myself to hell. There was no hope except there was a church people loved me enough that when I was out in the state that I was in, they loved me enough to pray for me. They carried a burden for this old boy when I was unworthy, when I didn't love them, when I didn't love myself. They had a burden for me because they knew who God was. They knew what God could do, and they loved me enough to take me before Him. If you have in his Bibles, it'd be much in prayer for us. It's the second chapter of the book of Titus. I don't know what I will say or do. It's not up to me. I say it. I try my best to make it known every time God stands us. This ain't my word. It ain't my message. This is all according to God's will because I'm unworthy of what He even done for me. I'm unworthy that He would call me to preach His word. All I am is a vessel. It's not that I'm no preacher, and I'm sure everybody else would agree. But I am not the preacher. All I am is a vessel that He uses for His honor and glory, that He might draw our lost people in here, that they would hear the word of God, that they would move upon it just the same as I did when I was in my lost state. I told you, just know my testimony. I went to church that Sunday morning or that Sunday evening with a drunk from the night before, Saturday night. That's what I was doing. I was living for, but there was a man, there was a church that loved me enough that they prayed for me. All the hours of the morning they lost sleep on my behalf. I know they loved me and they knew one. They could do what Mom and Daddy couldn't do. And they loved me enough to carry that burden. And they see me worthy that God would save my soul. That's what's wrong with the world we live in today. As it was done mentioned, I have left down on my part of that. I'm not concerned like I were to be. There is no vision toward my people anymore. I wish to God the whole world could see what God showed me in that. And it ain't because I'm special. But where there is no vision, our people will perish. Except they see you and I living it. Oh, they'll never know what's right or wrong. Oh, unless they see us walking this road, they'll never have any hope. That's the same thing this old boy saying. I went to church, raised in church my whole life. Know the Word of God. He's been around it. Could quote it just as good as one that sat on the very church pew. One of the elders, the elect. But there was a difference. I only knew it by my mind. I never knew it spiritually until that night that God got real to me. Made it known. It's mentioned. It was being mentioned. How about the things that these youngins is facing? Even the things that I seen growing up, the things that I took part of. How that it's so much worse. All these drugs that's going on nowadays, they're claiming that you take it one time and it'll either kill you or you'll be so hooked that you'll never turn back. Well, I'm here tonight to tell you that they don't know my God, obviously, because this old boy was in a bad shape. This old boy was doing a lot of wrong things that I don't care to mention to the church because of the shame that I have. But he's seen me in and he still saved my soul. We'll try our best to read on this. If anything, I'll just testify and I'll hush. Nevertheless, I want to be mindful of God. We get in such a tradition of being in church, come 20, 30 years, sit on the pew and never move up with it. That's been on my mind. There's been quite a few people. We've talked about it. Even Dean there, we talked with him a little bit about it, how that you sit on the church pews and I'm just as guilty. I sit there and think, oh, I'm saved. I'm on my way to heaven. I ain't got nothing to worry about. What about our lost people? They have no hope except they see you and I live it. I was going to have to read. I'm getting ahead of myself. Then bear with us. We're going to start in the first verse. Bible says, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience, that the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given too much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded in all things, shewing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine, shewing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters and to please them well in all things, not answering again, not purloining, but shewing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority, let no man despise thee. Now there's a few things, and we've got some definitions, if God bear our helper, we'll read them in a minute. But how that in this day and hour that we live in, you look up that word aged men and the aged women, that's the elders of the church. And as you see the elders of the church, it was mentioned in the prayer room, how that just in the last 9 years that the pastor's been here, how that so many of them have died off. Oh, but who's there to fill their shoes? Who's there to be willing to step up and say, God, I'll do it. Oh, God, let me carry the burden. Oh, God, let me be a light to them. It's not happening. That's why the church is just dwindling away. Because there's no desire. There's no burden. There's no want to anymore. I just say, how long people say? They was a church, love me. They was some elders, some children of God. Love this so boy enough that when I was unworthy, when I was unlovable, they loved me enough to take me before the King. They loved me enough to take me down on my behalf, that He would find me out and save my soul. But now you look at the church numbers, how did they dwindle away? It seems that nobody wants to come. There's no belief. There's no reverence. And I'll say this, it's because we've let down. We said we'll let a little bit go here, we'll let a little bit go there. And that's the shape that we're in today. But I'm here tonight to tell you, church, that we can still reach the Father. If you want to see a change take place in the day and hour we live in, I'll get under the burden that God's given you. I'll get ready to fight. Be willing to move when God calls. Be willing to do that. I mean, God has called you to do. Say, well, preacher, I'm just a lay member. Boy, prayer works wonders on the man of God as he stands trying his best to break the bread of life. I tell that to the church people that we can be a light and light for our own lives, be a light in the workplaces. We think that this is the only place we've got to work. That's not so. This right here is a place that we come as refuge. Our work is to be done out there. When we're on the job sites, how they see us there. Why do you think we've got such a bad name? Because everything goes anymore. There is no more peculiar people. There is no more boldness in love and not in meanness. I'm not saying that you go browbeat them, but you show them the true love of God in boldness. And watch the difference take place. If it was up to me, I'd do just as Daddy did. I'd love to. Love to whoop them in here. Have them come. But that won't do no good. But I'll say this, prayer will. What do you think woke this old boy up, sobered him up all those nights? It was the prayer of the church people calling out to a God of heaven, not just a Muhammad or all these other false gods, but they called on the God, the true and living God, the one that yielded up his own ghost. And he pulled it back up. He yielded up his ghost, and on the third day, took his life back freely for mankind because he loved us. But what are we willing to do for Him? Bear with us. I'm going to try to take my time. Bible says that the aged men be sober. If you look at word up, that means circumspect. Now this is Strong's Concordance. Means circumspect, vigilant, and discreet. They're to be all that. What is that saying, preacher? There's a set thing that they have to do. It ain't just a half-hearted. It ain't just I can let this little bit go and look over it. in the boldness of God, with all authority the Word of God teaches us, we're to love them and show them what's right and wrong. How will they ever know? The Word of God teaches us to train up a child the way that it should go. That's our lost people too, church. It ain't just how the children, your natural children. They have to see us living it before they'll ever realize that they're lost and on their way to hell. If it wasn't for God being manifested in the church's life, Isaac Woody would have never realized that he was lost and stood in need of so great a salvation. But it was because of those that was willing for all the persecution that they knew would come their way. See, that's the difference, church. Our elders is dying off, and I'm not just talking about those that's got the gray hairs. I'm talking about the ones that's in the Word of God. The elders, ones that's willing, no matter what it is, to tell you that God loves you, to tell you right from wrong, through love. They've left us, church. They're dying off. We're to fill their shoes. Say, well, preacher, I ain't half the man they are. You don't have to be. You just have to be what God calls you to be. Whether it's a prayer warrior, whether you've got a song that's burning in you, whether it's one that can study the Word of God, teach Sunday school, the prayer warriors, the women, the mourning women, those that's willing to mourn for our lost people. It's going to take each and every one of us, not just one or two. We all have our own burdens to bear. Bible says, bear you one another's burden. Now I understand we've got our own to bear, but it's my job. Whether God calls me to be in another church to preach Sunday morning, Sunday night, whatever it is, my job is to pray for you. I'm still here tonight that God would have His Word delivered here tonight in the manner that He would have it, even if I'm over there. And I want you to know, church, and I'm not saying this because of nothing, it just the Lord brought it to my attention. I want you to know, and not because anybody said anything, but I don't want any one of you to think that I forsook you or that I don't love you. It ain't that anybody said anything. I wish you could truly know the love that I have for you. But God gave me a calling to preach the Word of God. I have to go. I have to preach His Word. It's not that I'm not still praying for your church. I'd love to see a little church here full every Sunday, every Wednesday, every time the doors is open. But if you want to see it that way, it's going to take each one of us. It ain't just the man of God that carries the burden for the church. It's each one of us. We each one have to be sober. We each one have to be brave, which that means, you have to bear with me, I ain't no reader. Venerable, honorable. And then it speaks of being temperate. That means safe. And in quotation, sound, in mind, self-controlled. I'm just going to read through all the definitions I've got, and we'll hit them as we go. But faith, if you look that up, Strong's Concordance, it means persuasion, credence, assurance, belief, fidelity. Then you look up charity, it means love, benevolence. Patience means to be cheerful, and endurance, constancy, constantly. Chaste means to be clean, to be pure, to be innocent. Exhort means to call near, to invite, to beseech, to comfort, to desire. Cannot be condemned. That's one that I looked up just because of the definition of it. It's all one word when you look it up. That means to be unblameable. Purloining means to keep back or to embezzle. Adorn means to put in proper order. Righteously means to be equitable, innocent, holy, or just. Peculiar means beyond usual, special. Now this is our instruction that we as God's people has to be. It's the word I'm looking for. Just bear with me, church. I ain't good with words, but it's what we're to do as God's people. It's whatever the word is. It'll come to me in a minute. You just bear with me. But obligation, thank you, Lord. It's our obligation to be these things. Why, preacher? Because whether you realize it or not, they were the people before us was that same way toward us is what caused us to realize we was lost. See, I never knew I was lost until it was made known to me. I thought that I was just living life hunky-dory, all was well and good. But I'll say this, if we want to see our lost people saved, if we desire that, I've got a cousin I desire you to pray for. Boy, he's been coming to church with me a few weeks in a row there, but I found out there last night that he's got back to the doing and drinking and stuff. You think that bothers me in a way it does, but no, it don't. Why, preacher? Because God pulled me out of that. I know He can pull him out. But it's going to take me living it. It's going to take me proving it. More than just with this mouth. More than with tongue or words. But in deed and in truth. There has to be a difference. I have to be peculiar, unusual, special. Do you realize, children, that we're called the friends of God? Each one of us. He don't even call us a servant. I'm not even worthy to be one of His servants, but He calls us each one a friend. If we're true friends to Christ, would we not do the least of what He's asking us to be like for our people? Do we not count them worthy? So oftentimes we cast it off and say, well, that one's too bad. That one's got too drunk. That one's done too much. But I'll say this, the same blood that was shed for Isaac Woody on Calvary was shed for them too, even the worst of them. And it's mine and your job to live in front of them. If we want to see this world turn around, for that little young lady right there, these young kids growing up, almost young adults, if we want to see it turn around for them, we better start sowing the right thing now that they might reap it when their kids come along. See, it won't be that I reap what I just would have sowed in my lifetime, but it's going to be these youngins that will start reaping it. Their children will start reaping it, so forth and so on. That's why it's so important to be this way, to be peculiar. And all the hatred that's in this world, how that they hate the very church of the living God, but they'll never kill my church. That's why we can have confidence, faith, fidelity. I look these words up because I'm ignorant and desire to know the meaning of them. Because all these words in this have a meaning. They have their own part in each thing that we do. And each one of these words, if you'll listen, and if you look them up for yourself, because you probably read better than I can. I ain't trying to make no funny or nothing like that. But if you look each one of these words up, they all tie back into each other. What does it start with, though? Jesus Christ. He's the basis of it all. The faith, the patience, the charity. Each thing, the exhorting, everything to be sober. Because I'm no longer my own keeper. Kept by the power of God. That's what makes me be self-controlled. It's that that's within this outward man still desires the thing of the flesh. It's that that's within that causes me to be the peculiar person. Then pray for me, church. I'm trying my best to take my time. I want us to really understand because I wish, and I've said it before, that I could show you is everything that God showed me, but I know that I'm only scraping the surface. But if we truly realize, there two Sundays ago, I watched a young girl, 4-year-old, get drug out of the window of a car. She had quit, her mom had quit. I watched that little girl get pulled out, blood all over her nose. I just know that that youngin was dead. There's a honor. We don't even know if the driver's alive. Well, that little baby, all she was doing was hollering for her mama. Mama, mama, where's my mama? Well, here just in a minute, the mama came out of the car. And you know, she was hollering about it. Wasn't my car's demolished or this. She was worried about her baby. She was crying out, where's my youngin'? Is my baby okay? Get my child out of that car. That's the difference, folks. We'll have to be like that for our lost people. Why? Because they're calling for the mama. Mama, mama, where are you at? Show me the way. And it's going to take us to be where we need to be. To show them the way. Each one of us, it ain't just one or two. I'll never forget when God, I don't even remember the man that God preached about carried out. Yes, I do now. It was Dean that preached it, and I'm not uplifting him, and he knows that. But preached over there when many men carried that lame man before Christ. They couldn't get in the door, so what did they do? Instead of laying him down, they took him under the roof, pulled the shingles off, and lowered him down. They had a burden for that man. We claim we have a burden for our loss, but we're not proving no action forward. Now, I'm not trying to be mean or harsh or nothing like that, but it's time we get serious, church. The day and hour that we live in, there's no hope for our people. We see the things going on I never thought we'd ever see in my lifetime. But they're coming to pass, and it takes us as God's people are going before the throne, begging God to have His will and way to turn it around for these youngins. If God blesses in the future, if He blesses me and my wife to have children, there's certain things that as a father I have to do. I have to train that child up in the way that it should go. And when it's old, it will not depart thereof. What is that saying, preacher? They got to see Daddy living it. More than just me saying I live it. More than me just putting on my best church clothes, sitting on the front pew, or wherever I sit on the church. There has to be a growth take place. It's more than just staying on the milk your whole life. You've got to get to that meat. You've got to have the substance, the proteins. How to grow. It's a growing way, right? You get saved and that's it. We're to grow. Each one of us. We're to be. Because there's going to come a time when our elders do die. when the aged men. That's why it's important now for us to teach our children, to teach the young women, the young men, to show them the right way, so that when they get old, they ain't going to be confused about which way to go. They'll know who to fall back on. Growing up, this old boy knows something happened, I could call on the church and they'd pray for me. Something might happen. My sister had got on youth disease, and God really opened this old boy's eyes to that when he saved my soul. They was a many a time almost lost her, but I watched Daddy and Mama call on the church, but more than just calling on the church, I watched them find their place to pray. They didn't just lay the burden on the church, they proved it for themselves. They had to walk the road before they could call on the church. We claim we want to put it off on each other to carry the burden and us slack. And I'm not preaching to nobody but myself tonight. There's a lot of times, many times in my life, where I want to pass my burdens on and have young pray for them, but me never do the work. Well, what good is it doing if I'm claiming to be a Christian in front of those boys I work with if they never see any growth in my life? If they see me in the same state that I'm in over and over and over, they're going to think that there's nothing to it, and they won't be if there's no growth. They have to see me living it more than just saying it with my mouth. They have to see an action take place. My little wife, I can tell her I love her till I'm blue in the face, and I use this as an example of what the God does. I claim I love her, but she'll never know that I love her until there's an action takes place. Until I prove that I love her. That word is just a word. The word Christian is just a word that's getting used by so many people to make an excuse for everything that they're doing. I don't want you to be Christians and not look at Jesus. Wait a second, I'll explain what I'm saying. I don't want you just to say that you're a Christian. I want you to be Christ-like. I want the action to be there. More than just the word, so our lost people know the difference between a Christian and a true child of God. That's what it takes. It takes more than just people so hung up on a religion, on what mom and daddy had, grandma and grandpa, and they're not willing to get it for themselves. Everything that was mentioned before church and the prayer room and everything has just absolutely blessed my soul, because it's everything that God has had on my heart. And it's not that it's mean, it's to help us each and every one. It'll grow us if we'll let it. But I'll say this, we can be as, Isaac Woody can be as close to God as I want, or I can be as far away. It's my choice. What I do with the Word of God, if I apply it, if I'm willing to move up, if I'm willing to swallow my pride, say, God, I have fault. Will you help me? Lord, let me repent. Which means to turn from. So if I turn from it, I'm turning completely away from it, not to go back. I hope and pray, and I think it is, all this is making sense. I don't want you to think nothing to me. This little boy ain't good at speaking. I ain't good at words, nothing like that. But that's the difference, church. That's why I'm so thankful that it's not my word, that it's not my message, that it is God. Because He can make it in a way that we each one understand. And I'll say this, you'll gather from it different than I gather from it. You'll face things that Isaac Woody will never face. But through all of it, children, we have to be willing. We have to be peculiar, have a desire to. If not, our lost people, they've been mean. They've ones that I love dearly. I've got an uncle. I love that man dearly. But if he dies right now, church, and this is not judging him, it's split hell wide open. Because there's no evidence. There's no proof. There's no, and he's so unconcerned because there's been times that I've put him slacked up. He's seen me fall and come short. And he thinks, oh, because he done it, I can. There's been times that I've got mad at that man because of things that he said. And say, preacher, you only got mad? Yeah, I got mad, but it's still wrong. Through all of it, I'm so loving. But instead, I get so in myself and so concerned about Isaac Woody that I forget to let him go, which is to show our people the love of God, that they would realize that He's manifested in our life, that they would see that it's Him, not me. We're going to try to move on down in these. That the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. That they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the Word of God may not be not blasphemed. Children, it's our job to teach our youngins now. They have to see us living. I can teach them all day long, but if they don't see me actually putting forth an effort, they'll never do the same. As I've said, our elders is dying off. There's some that I've had many good men and women in my life that has lived a good, godly life in front of me, and I thank God for it. But now that they've done gone on, it's my job to be willing to fill those shoes, to be willing to step up, say, Lord, whatever it takes for our lost people to be saved. Lord, use me however you see fit, that they would be, that they would see you high and lifted up in my life, maybe, that you could do the job. They so often times that I want to do the cleaning up before we get them to church. But instead, if I would just invite them to church, if we get them here in love and let God do the manifest and let God do the showing, that's when the difference would take place. Young men, likewise, exhort to be sober-minded in all things, shewing thyself a good pattern of good works in doctrine, shewing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Church, if we're living a righteous life, the world's going to hate the very being that you are, but it's not you that they're hating. The Word of God teaches us to know that if the world hate us, then it hateth them that testifieth against it. It ain't us that they hate. It's the truth that we live in our life, the truth that we make manifest. When they see Jesus Christ going against everything that they're doing, that's the part that makes them mad. It wasn't my life. Anytime anybody ever found me out, boy, I could make up a good excuse as to what I was doing, why it was right. Even though they said it was wrong, even though I knew it was wrong, I tried to make an excuse. And it got to the point that I hated it because it made me realize that what I was doing was wrong. And the pride of my own life was what held me back a lot of the times. I was a prideful man. I didn't want to be known as wrong. I didn't want people to show me that I was wrong. I wanted to be right in my own eyes. But as it was mentioned there before church, the wages thereof is death. They're headed to death because they don't see that they're doing wrong. There's no showing anymore. That's why, church, it's important now more than ever for us to be like our lost people. If you get somebody on your heart, call them up. It might be all you do is tell them you love them. But if God lays it on your heart to do so, then do it. If I'm away from here, if God has me somewhere else that I've got to stand, my job is still to pray for Him. I still love Him. I still carry a burden for the people of this community. I'm not to slack up in all that. Even though I'm not here all the time, I'm still to be praying that God would have His will and way. That maybe your lost people would come. That God would save them before it's too late. That's what it's all about. It ain't all about me being seen. And saying, oh, Elijah Woody was ours Sunday night. None of that matters. What matters is that we're doing the will of God, no matter what people think. And I'm not saying that to be arrogant. But if you know that God's laid something on your heart, but you're scared that somebody might look funny at you, maybe you ain't the best singer. Lord knows I'm not. But I've got one song that I love to sing because that's a song that God made real to me. That's my song, church. I sing it all the time. Don't sing it there like I want to. But it don't matter if you think that it's beautiful. If God calls me to do it, to sing that little bit of your song, what I might think silly a lot of the time, there's no telling how it would bless the rest of the service. Just be mindful of the Spirit of God and not our own fears. And I'm one of the world's worst, church, and I'm not saying this to be proud of, but I'm one of the world's worst. I can't stand before a crowd. I can't stand it. I don't like to be the center of attention. But if it's God's will that He stands me, that maybe I'm a light to one lost soul, that they would realize who He is and that it's of Him and all eyes included, then I tell you this, church, it'll all be worth it. Every hard step that we'll ever take, and it's not an easy way, I'm not going to say that it is, but every step of it's worth it just to see one of them receive salvation. If that's all it was one, it would all be worth it. But God loves us enough. He cares enough that when He shed His blood, He didn't just come for one or two. He shed it for whosoever would. So while there's still breath, there's still hope, what are we doing with the time of life? Are we being the aged men and women Or we just living carelessly thinking, oh, well, this don't carry it good enough that God will answer it for them. Well, he might do it, but you'll live a miserable life not doing the will of God if he calls you to do so. That's each one of us. That's me more than anybody. I promise you, there ain't nobody more headstrong than I am. And I'm ashamed of that. But if I would just be obedient, if it's just a song, if it's you coming up praying, and I'm not trying to preach this over, but if it's God laid it on your heart to pray for some lost people, by all means be willing to lay them at God's feet. To be willing to give them to them because you know that he can take care of it. You know that he'll answer it if you go according to his will. The Word of God teaches us that. But a lot of times in my own self, I'm too prideful. Say, oh, I wasn't going to get home. By the time I get home, God might not be burdening me to pray anymore. So why don't I just move when he draws me to? This avoidance think that, yes, a lot of times we think that it's the man of God's job and that the man of God's man. I promise you, I had to repent, and I'm not proud to say that. I had to repent before I ever come here tonight because I realized that I was not an aged man, that I was not sober, grave temperament. I wasn't any of that. There was a lot of fault in my own life. Do you realize, church, that I'm only accountable for me? But a lot of times I spend more time, more concerned about everybody else than my own self. That I miss out when God is dealing with me for something. Because, oh, that was for so-and-so. That was for this one. Well, if I don't go, this one's going to see that I'm not there and they're going to get mad at me. Church, if we would be willing, and this is not harsh. I promise you, this is nothing but love. If we would be willing to obey God when he draws us, church, we would see a difference in the world we're living in. We would see our lost people coming in here. But it's going to take the burden. It's going to take us carrying the burden, willing to, that it would start taking place. Because there's been so much where I give off a little bit, say, oh, that ain't all that bad. But church, you look at where it's gone. You look at where my slackness has gone. We're living in a day and hour where there's no reference. We're living in a day and hour where the gays and lesbians will come and sit in the very church of the living God, stand up and disrupt the service. Say, oh, well, that's a hate crime if you don't let me be a preacher. All this, that, and the other. Church, it's because I'm free. I can't speak for nobody else. It's because I have let down on my God. It's because I have quit being grave, temperate, sober, all these things. It's because of me. And I'll say this, it'll take me doing my part to get it back to where it needs to be. If we want to see revivals break out throughout our land, it'll take us each one desiring it. It ain't just the church as a whole. We each one have to desire it. What are you talking about? You'll never have revival until you want revival. If you want to be revived, then God will send revival. It's not just the church's job. It's not just one man's job to pray for our lost people. If we claim we want to see them saved, it takes us each one desiring to see it take place. And I hope and pray that you know the love that's in this. God knows my heart. I'd never say anything to be harsh or mean toward nobody. Exhort servants, ninth verse, exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters and to please them well in all things, not answering again, not purloining, but shewing all good fidelity, that they may adore the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. Church, whether we realize it or not, our lost people desire salvation. They desire to have what we have, but it's going to take us to show it to them. They see the difference in our lives. They see when Isaac's where he needs to be. They see when I'm not. They see when I'm that peculiar person. They start thinking, he's a lot different than I am. They so different about him. I've been called all smiles. I've been called all manner of names. I got to ask one time how that I could smile all the time knowing the shape that the world was in. And all the answer I've got for that church is because God loved me enough that he saved my soul, that he put a love in me for the lost people that they wouldn't mind going to heaven. It's my job to live in front of them. They'll never know except they see me living. I can say it. I can come to church every time the doors is open. But if I'm not willing to grow, if I'm not willing to put forth faith, to exhort, to be all the things that we're called to be, then they'll never see. And they'll die and go to hell because of my slackness. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God of our Savior and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from all iniquity and to purify unto Him a peculiar people zealous of good works. Church, He's given us everything that we need to walk this life. Each time that I face a valley that may be, I think that there is no hope out of the end of it. There's hope, church. Thanks be unto God, we're still breathing. There's hope for our lost people. They're still breathing. Thanks be unto God, there's still hope for them. But it's going to take us living in front of them. We have to instruct them, to train them up, to show them right from wrong, to let them know that the God of heaven loves them enough that He died for them. It's all love, church. There is no hate in it. I can't hate them and claim that the love of God is in me. I can't hate you and claim that the love of God's in me. And I'm one touch that I get mad if somebody irritates, if somebody does something to me, I want to get my own revenge. Boy, I want to get them back. That's just my prideful nature. So I'll get them twice as good as they got me. You know how we can get them back twice as good as they got us? Love them enough to pray for them. Love them enough to study the Word of God, to live it in front of them, to tell them every chance we get just that God loves them. Yeah, I ain't got to drag them in here. I ain't going to say, oh, you've got to be in the house of God. But just tell them that God loves them. Church, that'll be woman. It didn't miss old boy's life. Because they come a point where I reached the state where I had reached the end of my road. There was no hope for me. I was ready to end my own life because I thought that there's no way that anybody could love me. And thanks be to God, there was a man of God that loved me enough that he stood and preached the Word of God just to let me know that Jesus loved me. You know what that done for this old boy? That gave me just a little bit of hope. Say, oh, if he died for me, surely he'll love me enough to save me. And you know what he done, church? He was faithful for that. He saved me, not because he had to, but because he loved me enough that he wanted to. Church, we're about through. Who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. A lot of times we get so concerned about what everybody else thinks about us. And we forget to worry about what God has called us to do. Whether, like I said, it don't mean that everybody's a preacher. But whatever God has placed to your charge, the burden that you're to carry. Those nights that He wakes me up, wee hours in the morning, just to pray for our lost people. Do I actually get out of bed and pray for them sincerely? Or do I just mumble off enough that I can roll back over and go back to sleep? There's a difference, though. This burden, the desire to see our lost saved. We wonder, we all the time ask, well, I wish God would give me a burden. Well, church, the burden is not. It's up to us whether we want to carry it or not. And I'll say this, church, there's been so many times since I've been at this little church that I've let you down. And I'm sorry for that. I ain't saying that to friends to have a pity party on me. If anything, you're going to throw rocks at me and run me out that back door. But thanks be to God, He loved me enough that He allowed me to repent of that. And church, I don't want to go back to that. I want to help you carry y'all's burdens. Because y'all's burdens are important to me. I desire to see your lost people saved. Mark that boy that you got out there. I desire to see him saved. Is it because he's so special? No, it's because God loved him enough that he died for him. He loved me enough that he died for me, that he put that love in me for them. It's not my choice to say who's worthy and who's not. All it is my choice to tell them whether God loves them or whether I keep my mouth shut. But church, we need to be present. They need to know. Just as a child growing up, you have to teach them when things is hot. Don't touch that. It's hot. It'll burn you. Well, that's the same with them. We have to teach them, hey, buddy, you might think that this is good, but it's only for a little while. The end's death. But now let me tell you about this one. The one who died for you, the one who loved you enough that he left glory, left heaven, to bear your cross, to bear your sin because he loved you that much, that's one that'll never forsake you. It was made mention before church, and I'm trying to shut up, church, I promise. It was made mention before church. There's been a many people that has let me down. There's been many times that I thought that I couldn't keep going. But thanks be unto God, then God loved me enough that He saved me. He was always there. Even when Mom and Daddy couldn't do it. Brother, as much as I love you, you're my daddy-in-law. But it ain't because of you that I come. As much as I love my wife, it ain't because of her that I come. Mark, brother, as much as I love you, Community Chapel, as much as I love Youngs, it's not because of Youngs that I come. I come because to pay back, to show my respect, to do God's will for what He done for me. Because as the church loved me enough that they prayed for me, and God seemed fit to save my soul. And now it's my turn, church. Our elders have died off. It's my turn to gird up, to be willing to fight for this next generation. But that little young man right there, these youngins that's getting ready to graduate high school and walk off in the world, into this world, church, they don't realize, like some of us have been in this way a little while. Now, I'm not even talking about your Christian walk, even your worldly walk. The job, having to wake up every day, whether you want to or not. Church, it's coming for our children. It's our job to train them up, let them know about one. Because when I first graduated high school, I entered into the workforce, a lost man. And I spent my money on all the wrong things. I spent my money on the partying, on the running, and I'm not proud of that. But thanks be to God, He seemed fit to save my son. Now it ought to be my job. It ought to be my desire to pray up for some of these young people getting ready to get one. Those that's left tomorrow, those that's no longer concerned about coming, ought to be willing to wake up in the middle of the night and God does. When He'll wake me up with them on my heart to cry out of that country made of mine, hit my knees, and say, God, just be with me. That prayer was prayed for me, church, and God seemed fit to answer. It's my job now to pray for them at the same time, because God will still answer if we desire it. If God lets me live to be 50, 60, 70, 80 year old, what we consider old nowadays, I'll never save one soul. But I can pray to a God of heaven, the one that saved my soul. And that one can go deeper than what Isaac Whitty can. That was made mention too. And I'm not trying to preach what everybody else had on their heart. It's what God had on my heart. You see how God works things? He'll join them together for His good, that He would be exalted. It's nothing of me. I don't want nobody to think good of Isaac Whitty. But I want them to see my face. That's what I want them to see. Those boys I work with, I don't want them to say, Isaac, how are you smiling all that? I want them to see God in my life and say, I now know why you smile. Because God can answer prayers, church. He will answer prayers. God can save our people. I can't. But I can be obedient and choose to do God's work. Or I can choose to sit back and not care at all. Church, I love you. That's my heart. I hope and pray, honestly. I want you to know the love that I have for you. I don't want there ever to be a thought we instinct that I don't love you. Or that you've just done something that's offended or made me mad, because I promise you I've not. I know that I don't get to be here as much as I used to. But I'll say this, I'm thankful for each prayer that you've prayed for this, oh Lord, when I'm out there, because I'm representing the church. I'm representing that you understand on. The Word of God that's preached here. I represent that when I'm out there. And I hope and pray, church, that they see the same God that you've preached here. I hope and pray that they see that this little church here loves God and is willing to serve God no matter what it costs. Because if they do come, when reality comes, and they're going to try to shut the doors of the church, they've already tried. Look at the start of COVID. That's the first place that was affected. They wanted to shut the doors of the church, to shut God out. But you look how God prevailed. Because the desire of the church has been that the doors stay open. What we want to say, I'll say, it's going to take us design. I love you. That's my heart. I hope and pray that you know I love you. Hope and pray you know that you can count on me. Not because of what good I am, but because of what God's done for me. Brother, it's yours. That's my heart.
Amen. Not while I was preaching. Just some of the things that we talked about this morning from our Sunday school class. There's some things this world will accuse us of. We best not give them no evidence to prove it. They want to bring the church down. They want to make accusation against the church. And what Isaac read to us tonight was instruction on how to prevent that. And how to teach and how to bring up our children. What I wanted to only just been, I'm not adding to it or nothing, because if you just know where my heart was this evening with some scripture. I know I wasn't going to have to preach tonight. The only thing I know if I had to do, I was going to have to read some scripture. But what Isaac read in that, in the very beginning of it, he said, "Speak thou the things which become sound doctrine." The things that we speak are going to become sound doctrine when we live them. They will become sound doctrine when we're willing to stand on them. Before that, it's just words. Before that, it's just somebody saying, "I'm a Christian." But after you live that, it becomes sound doctrine in your life. It becomes something that nobody can accuse and prove that you haven't been doing, because your evidence shows forth what you are. And you get on down in this, and it says, in the seventh verse, "In all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works in doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you." Now, is that not our Sunday school lesson this morning? That people that look on our lives can see the graveness, the soberness, and just like what that was saying there, the sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is the contrary part may be ashamed. Okay, all of this to lead around over here. "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men." Our lives is going to be how that the grace of God appears unto all men. The sound doctrine, things that become sound doctrine in our lives, is what's going to have an impact of the grace of God touching our people. Not our words. Not just calling by somebody this or saying that or nothing, but by us living this, it becomes sound doctrine in somebody's life. And guess what happens through that? The grace of God appears.
Yes, blessing.
It shines forth as that light we've been preaching about, that light that got mentioned by this brother, it shines out and it appears and makes itself manifest in people's lives by the way we live. That's this scripture that was getting preached to us tonight. It's sound doctrine. And what does the grace of God do when it appears? It starts teaching some things. It says, "Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world." That, so when the grace of God appears, it don't take me telling you something. My life's going to show you that.
Yes,
it's going to show you that you should live and denying ungodliness and worldly lust, and live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Listen, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. Now you want to hear what I was going to read? You go back to Psalms 107. He said, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord." It's a scripture I've read many times here and many times other places. "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good. For His mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered them out of the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them from out of their distresses, and He led them forth by the right hand, by the right way, and that they might go into a city of habitation. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men, for He satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness." So why is it important for our older women and our older men and our young people to live soberly in this life? So that others will see God in you. He said to let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Our words is going to have an impact on our people's lives that they might see the grace of God in us. And when man believes unto righteousness, he'll have a confession with his mouth. There'll be something to speak of the good things. I appreciate the Word of God tonight. I thank the Lord for ascending in our way tonight. I don't know nobody's heart.